and not what's really going on. All right. But according to the scripture, this scripture, we have been given miraculous power to trample Satan and all of his deception against us. We see it today, that force, the pressure trying to get us to conform to the world and its systems. It is a constant fight against our minds, but take courage today. Anything Satan says about you through whatever source in this world system, he is the God of this world system. It is a lie. What God says about you and what God says you have is the actual truth. It really has nothing to do with what you feel. That's going to be key this morning. We're going to talk about letting our emotions cause us to make unwise decisions. It is what you know. Looking past what you feel, anxiety, pain, on and on it goes, and seeing what is real. That he has been disarmed and you have been given miraculous power to move forward with God's will for you. God said he would never allow anything on you that you could not bear. And he places us in places. And for us to want to get out of those places that he's placed us in, you're kicking against the goads. This is a strong word this morning, and if it's for you, fine, shoe fits, wear it. If not, whoever listens to this message, it's one of the strongest messages I believe the Lord's ever given me, and I know he's given me a lot of them, but we should never fear going. If the Holy Spirit is saying go, the Holy Spirit will let you know if you should not go. Remember what Jesus, before he went to heaven, said. We're going to read these again. We read two of them last week, Matthew 28. Satan's agenda doesn't change. Just like the television blockade. You have to be over the target whenever the enemy tries to block you from moving forward. All right, Matthew 28:16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go! Ye therefore. Where are we supposed to go? And teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So he said, go teach these people because I want you, them to, their culture to become the kingdom of God. We're supposed to be infiltrating the whole earth, not the deep state. Mark 16. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. If you think you're getting to heaven on your merit, then you can just think again, you're not doing it. You believe him, salvation. If you don't, hell's for you. Cut and dried, black and white, there's no in between. All this inclusive. I was listening to someone the other day that I've really esteemed pretty highly. He seemed to have really a take on the Word of God. And then he starts talking about Buddha and all this other crap. And I'm going, say what? There is no other way. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They'll take up servants. They've drinking anything, it won't hurt them. Miraculous power. Behold, I've given it to you, power. So he has equipped us to go. He has not equipped us to just show up and have our country club experience and salve our conscience for the week and go on our merry way. And call the prayer line when we need prayer because we don't have time. We have too much to do to pray. Is this church? My experience, it's what church was. I still have friends today. Every little thing, they called everybody and their dog to pray. And I try to say, why don't you pray for yourself? Why don't you say? Isn't it time to grow up?
Absolutely.
All right, Luke 19. It's time to grow up. We are not toys or us kids anymore. 19:11. And as he heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Well, from what I can see, the church is occupied with the rapture. They're occupied. When is God going to get us out of here? When is President Trump going to do something? He said to occupy till I come. What does that mean? Take authority, take dominion, keep the devil out wherever you go. He has no rights here. He does not belong here. God's given the earth to man. If anything, I've learned through the last 3 weeks from my own teaching on television, it's that very thing. So I hope if I've learned it again and again and again, they have too. But his citizens hated him. I know the feeling. They hated him. Why do people hate the truth? Why would they rather believe a lie? Why would they rather believe the farthest, most further out, stupid thing that there ever was? And hate the truth. He sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man reign over us. Kind of looks like, why doesn't it? The earth. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. So he meant what he said, and he said what he meant. And he expected you to do it 100%. He did. He hasn't varied. He didn't care if they hated him or not. He told them, occupy. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Just what I was saying to you about your music this morning. Do the little God's given you to do, and there'll be a time. He'll say, well done, I'll promote you. This isn't about how much he gives us to do. It's about doing what he says do, not bailing out of it, not leaving it behind because it gets too hard. Oh, I just hate this. I just hate this. I just hate this job. I'm just speaking what the Spirit says speak this morning. Don't hate the messenger. Don't kill the messenger. And the second came saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. Don't you get it? It's about him giving you something to do. And it's about you staying with it to the very end until the reckoning comes. He says, well done. Come up higher. Promotion day. But if you keep bailing out, there'll never be a promotion day. For I fear thee, because thou art an... Wait a minute. And he said likewise to him, be thou over 5 cities. There's promotion. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here's thy pound, which I have laid up in a napkin. For I fear thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. He must have been listening to them religious people, because they always talk about, oh, God burnt down my house to teach me something. He broke my leg, so I learned my lesson, Lord. They don't realize that if you did that to your kids, you'd be in prison. You know what? They didn't take time to know God or his ways. This is what he had to say about that. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and for him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, those that didn't occupy, they're my enemies, which would not I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Wow. Isn't that just the opposite of the world? Isn't that what the deep state wants? They want to bring in and infiltrate and replace you with some foreigner somewhere? Isn't that what they're, you know, the fake news? Isn't that the fake movie that's playing out? You know why this movie's playing out this way? It's like the old Star Trek adventure when they met their alternative, but they were mean and ugly and awful. There was an alternate Captain Kirk and the science officer Spock and Bones, all of them. And they were evil on one side and they were good and kind and noble, wanted to do the right thing on the other side. Alternative narrative playing out. The kingdom of God is coming. We see the change. We see it slowly, drip, 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 but it's coming. And they're just pushing, no, this is coming, this is coming. The devil says, the devil says, the devil says. Mm-mm, it's not true. And why, you know, the Lord had Q post the way he did was because you can't tell people, they won't listen. You just see right here. Jesus himself told them, occupy till I come. And they hated him and chose something else. We are to occupy, influence culture, change it. Not go in like they do and try to force you. Whatever's forced, you know where that comes from. God gives us a choice, but he says, you will live with your choice because when I come, it'll either be the pit, it'll be reward. All right, you will get flack. It's all just part of it. It is silly to think that it's just going to be easy and pleasant. We are dealing with a crazy renegade spirit here, and he's losing all the stuff that he thought that he had, so why would you shrink from the assaults that you receive where he has placed you? You should see it as a sign and as a signal that you're over the target. Jesus said he gave you miraculous power to overcome the powerful deceptive plots of the devil. Whether you believe it or not, more than likely, the people that God has put you around, you may be their only hope. This isn't time to back down. This is the time to hold the line. We are at war, just in case you haven't noticed. We will be led by the Holy Spirit and not by what we feel or what we think. You are none of your business because you're dead. You're dead and your new real life is in Christ Jesus. So Father says, go here, do this, stay there, leave there. Father calls the shots. You shouldn't criticize yourself. You know why? You should let Father say, okay, child, you need to change this. We've got the devil condemning us already. We don't need to criticize ourselves because we're really none of each other's business. And what someone does to us is really not our business either. It's Father's business. He's the vindicator. All right, here's a New Testament example here. When we, okay, just turn to Acts 16. Verse 6. 16:6. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go unto Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So Paul, they're just going on their journey. And they start to go into an area, and the Holy Spirit says, no, don't go there. But go here. He has a dream vision. All right? What happened? See, they're in God's will here. They're following the Spirit. Look at verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Now you think about this. This is a territorial spirit. The Holy Spirit wanted that territorial spirit taken out. This is what apostles do in their teams. They take out territorial spirits while they get the flack. The same followed Paul and us. Did I read all of that scripture? Well, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. A cult. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which showed us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Do you think maybe they might have thought, maybe we missed it here. Maybe we shouldn't have done this. And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, look what praise did. Give you thanks in every situation, for this is the will of God. Not what you're going through. Not giving thanks if I'm in this prison. It's not what God's saying here. He's saying in every situation that you find yourself in, give thanksgiving. Why? Power shows up. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. You ever have a meltdown or just think, I don't know what I'm going to do, boo-hoo, cry, whatever? Well, turn that around and start going, oh, I give you thanks, Lord. I don't understand this, but I give you thanks anyway because you told me to in every situation. You said it was your will. It's His will in Christ Jesus concerning you. All right. Miraculous power through praise showed up and bam. What if they'd taken the attitude that most Christians that I know take? Oh, I just want to stay home and shun the law all day. We're supposed to be going wherever the Lord tells us to go, wherever He's placed us, wherever our sphere of influence is, whether it be training, through jobs, or whatever. If we don't, who will? And it's Isaiah said, Lord, send me. He said, I looked for a man that would stand in the gap, make up the hedge, and I found none. And Isaiah said, Lord, send me. I'll go, send me. Well, sometimes that's in the lion's den. And you feel like you're being devoured. But you just need to stand your ground because God has placed you there for a reason. Even if you never seem like you affect anybody, you can sure pray and say, and there ain't nothing in the world they can do about that. Because I think I had a word a few weeks ago about the power that we have is our words, our faith. What's the victory that overcomes the world? Even our faith. It doesn't necessarily mean you even have to be around people, but you can take out those principalities and powers, those strongholds. This was the slave girl here. This was a stronghold over this city. And the Holy Spirit wanted to go in there and get some people free because this thing was hanging over this city, this witchcraft. We've got to see what God has called us to do and the reality of it and quit being so silly and quit letting our emotions swam us about and get out of sync. Because every time we do, we delay, delay, delay. And it's hard on us. You know what I'm saying? We just got to grin and bear it and just say, no, I'm setting my face like flint and I will not be deterred from what God has told me to do. Okay. The scamdemic that Satan has launched has been to shut us down and shut us up. Who'd they hit first? The churches. But the big box stores were essential, so they stayed open. Walmart was open. But churches weren't essential. The Holy Spirit is not saying that. He is saying go. Some of the people in the early church tried to discourage Paul to stay home so he wouldn't get so beat up all the time. But he refused to let them keep him from what the Holy Spirit was telling him to do. This is Acts 21. And it came to pass, verse 1, that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Cos, whatever, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara, and finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unlade her burden, and finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when he had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when he had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. When he had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them 1 day. The next day, we that were Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the 7, and abode with him. The same man had 4 daughters, virgins, which he did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he had come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. When we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart?" They're trying to get his emotions to get him to quit, to get him to not go, because they're fearing for his life. "For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, "The will of the Lord be done." And after those days, we took up our carriages and went to Jerusalem. And there went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Manson of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we should lodge. What are you going to do? The word from Agabus proved to be true. He was bound by the Holy Spirit with this commission, and he would not be dissuaded. Neither would God take it off of him. He tried that 3 times. He besought the Lord, "Lord, that this might depart from me. I'm losing my mind. Can you get it off of me? I've been there. My grace is sufficient for thee, Paul. In your weakness, my strength comes through." All right. Acts 20, 22. "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Say that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself." In other words, I don't care about myself. I don't get into self-care about myself, what I feel, what I think, or even what I know. Because God has bound me in the Spirit, and it's going to be this way, and there's not going to be any other way. And you might as well face that there will be no other way. Till God releases. For Paul, it was his whole ministry. "Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." He learned to do it with joy, knowing that anywhere he went, they're going to beat the snot out of him or throw him in jail for no reason. I'd want to stay home too. It'd be worse than COVID, right? "And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." Let me see where I'm going to, okay. "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn you, to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I had coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel, yet ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Very important. When God places you, you stay there. That's the place of provision. You let dollar signs get in your eyes. You're setting yourself up for a fall. "When he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship." So the word there, bound, just means to bind. We are bound to a commission, to what where God's placed us and what he would have us do. And there's no getting out of that. I mean, if there is, then you're getting out of God's will. Are you committed to recognize your bonds, and are you willing to do what Paul and others did? Paul got beat up everywhere he went, but it did not stop him from moving forward. He was outwardly bound, but he was bound by the Spirit. This was God's will. People say, oh no, it's a hellhole. That couldn't be God's will. Well, you know, as the church had been so coddled, don't they know we're soldiers? No, they don't. You keep going here. Let me find my place. Hear me today. This may be unpleasant for you, and I can identify, but you must not try to unbind yourself from the assignment of the Holy Spirit. You must let God do it if it is to be done. It is not about what you think or feel. It is an assignment. Like the Holy Spirit is saying this morning, the people He puts you around, regardless of what you think about them, you may be their only hope. If you bail, will their blood be on your hands? Think about that. I know this is strong today, but we are no longer playing church games with fickle, puritanical Christians that gripe and complain about everything if it isn't going their way. This is about receiving assignments from the Holy Spirit and seeing them through to the end and not bailing out. Jesus said go, and the church said no. Even Paul warned them. This is, Eve was deceived. That was his greatest concern about leaving. Those that go are being persecuted. See it for what it is. Don't let Satan's tactics stop you. Take the authority over him that you have. Whatever you're going through, whatever kind of situation you're in, recognize it as persecution. Because that's exactly what it is. Well, I must have done something wrong. No, you must have done something right. I heard Mark Taylor say this, if your life isn't a living hell, you're not doing anything for God. I thought, well, I identify with you there, brother. He's gone through all kinds of physical problems. I'd like to write him and say, you need to look at this for what it is instead of seeking out all these physicians to try to get well, because it's the devil. You can't have the kind of words that he has that's affected so many millions of people and not have flack. Come on, people. That is so naive to think that you're just going to sit on flowery beds of ease and do this warfare. All right. When the lockdown happened, some churches just shut down. I believe Rodney Howard Brown was the first pastor arrested because he would not shut down his church. Now, Rodney Howard Brown, it's the first book I ever read about the deep state. And he's from South Africa, and he's a legal immigrant, and he loves America. He knows the Constitution. He knows his rights, because they had to learn that to become a citizen. And so he sees it from a different viewpoint. When you're born into it, a lot of times you just, yeah. But he stood up against the government. They arrested him, put him in jail, but he never shut down his church. All right, the government of the devil said that the church was a non-essential. Thankfully, here in Texas, our Governor Abbott later issued an order to reopen the churches because he said these words, they are essential. Their spiritual health is more important than physical. So what? You can't get your bananas at Walmart, but you can get your spiritual food that you need and the fellowship you need. See, they're trying to separate us from each other. That bond in the Spirit, they can't stop it. But still, you see their tactics. That's Satan's tactic. All right, let's read this. This is Revelation chapter 12. He is making war against the saints. What you're going through is persecution. You cannot speak the things that we speak and tear up the devil's playhouse the way we do without any persecution. Like I said, it's very naive to think that way.
Well, I must have done something wrong.
It's just like thinking everything we've been seeing is real and really it's just a movie. It's fake news. I got built up at the rally, listening to the rally. It built me up. I felt, he's back. Whether parent anybody else or not, he is. And he won all 50 states. Whether parent or not at this time. Revelation 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. She being with child cried, travailed in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. Fake news! The beast! The image of the beast. Fake news. And his tail drew the third of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered to devour her child as soon as it was born. She brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up into God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, blah, blah, blah. What I want you to see here, though, is come here. 9. The great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him. Who overcame him? Us. By the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil's come down unto you, having great wrath, because he know he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman and brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of an eagle. All right, let's go on down here. And the dragon, verse 17, was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. He's down here and he is persecuting us. This is what's going on. And we need to view it as such. It's not anything we're doing wrong. It's what we're doing right. All right. The beast is making war against his saints. We must hold the line where God has placed us and not back down. He has strategically placed you there for a reason. Stop letting it affect you personally. All right, Acts 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Phrygia and Pamphylia, and John departing from them returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and Pisidia, went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. And I think I've not got the right chapter here. Let me look. Well, I don't know what that's there for. Sorry. There's no telling. All right. Acts 15. Let's go on. 36. Oh, I know what it was. Just a minute. All right, let's go to 15 then. 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them who departed from them from Pamphylia. That's what was in chapter 13. I couldn't find it. And went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So this caused Barnabas to get out of God's will, and you never hear about Barnabas again. Because someone in the crew bailed out on him. And Paul didn't want any association with them until they could get back on track, and it was many years later that he did. It ruined the ministry for Barnabas for sure here. He lit his emotions because of family members. Oh, God, family members. Don't even go down that trail. Let the emotions get in the way and hinder the work. I want someone covering my back that won't depart, if you know what I mean here. I don't want somebody saying they're going to do something for me or help me, and then I can't even depend on them. And I'm not saying that about anybody here. I'm just making a statement. We are bound by the Holy Spirit. We have the authority to bind the devil. As I speak today, I want you to know this. Many have come and gone from this ministry, and many of them are no longer alive. Was that God's will? No, it was not. But they couldn't stay bound in the Spirit because they didn't understand or they misunderstood, whatever the reason may be. The Holy Spirit knew what was ahead for them and wanted to help them to live and not die, but he had to have their cooperation. That's what I mean. When we bail out of situations that God puts us in because they are unpleasant, we're endangering ourselves by doing so. Because God is trying to prepare us for what is ahead and equip us. And if you won't stay the course and you won't learn what you need to learn, how can you call on God and expect him to bail you out? He was trying to teach you right then what you needed to do to help you live and not die. It's kind of like when Joseph was sent ahead that his brethren would live and not die. People don't understand this. If anything's uncomfortable, like Kirsten W. says, you know, she said, I can't stand the puritanical Christians on this channel. They want everything to be perfect. You say one word wrong, they criticize you. I'm thinking, yeah, it's a church. They're the ones that like to crucify every minister that comes down the pike, that every little thing they say is not exactly the way it's supposed to be. It doesn't turn out the way they think it ought to be. That's the truth. All right. God had to have their cooperation. This ministry is a training ground, and where God has placed you is by divine design, and you might as well buckle down and learn what you need to learn and stop baiting out every time something doesn't suit you. I really want their job. They don't treat me right. The Holy Spirit knows what lies ahead, and he is trying to preserve you and keep you alive. Now here's this statement. If not anything else I've said today, you will not choose how you learn it. God has chosen, and you face it. It's not up to you to choose how you're going to learn it. God has a different places in your life to learn it. And he wants you to stay put to learn it for a reason. All right. You cannot complain about the circumstances you will face in the future because of your decision if you did not allow God to work with you. God has said through a word back in 1999, you were present that day. You're going to be so glad in the days ahead that you stuck with it and you didn't leave and you didn't bail out. How many years ago has that been now? 23 years? 22, 23 years? I remind myself of that all the time. I remember Joyce Meyer saying, there were days I laid on the floor, held on to the desk chair to not run away from God. Said, I know what you're talking about, Joyce. I know what you're talking about. All right. Let me read this passage to you again. This is Acts 20. I want you to hear this now. Please. Hear this. Hear what the Spirit is saying today. I'm bringing it the best way I know. Verse 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. Where are you? You're bound in the Spirit. Wherever God sends you, you're bound in the Spirit. Not knowing the things that shall befall you there. Say that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the grace, gospel of the grace of God. You say you believe COVID's not real. Are you acting like it? Are you letting that shut you in and keep you from what God has for you? And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. He's talking to pastors here. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So Paul is telling them, he's told them, and now he says, I release it unto God, and I won't carry any care on it anymore. I commend you to God now that you'd hear these words. What God has called us to is very important. We know our authority and how we, as God's Gideon army, we're here to mess up Satan's playhouse. Keep that in mind. It is naive to even imagine that he won't fight back. If you think working for a ministry, it's like sitting on clouds of ease, think again. I didn't enter hell until I entered into church ministry, I'm telling you. I got my eyes wide open. I saw the swamp all over the place. The devil at work. And I got persecuted because of it. I'm telling you. All right, get back on track here. Paul stood alone on some occasions because the others just couldn't hack it. There are churches all across the city today that you could go to and just have your feel-good moment and go about your merry business. Sadly enough, because of this, we are in this mess today. Everybody just comes to get their little weekly salving of their conscience, and then they go about their business and don't think about cracking their Bibles till next Sunday. The choice is yours. We have been given power over Satan. We are to go forward as if that is true. You have all the power of the Godhead inside of you. We must be about the Master's business without fear. We have a lot of territory to regain. Now I want to read you an article. It's an awesome article. Get a drink. Time we start acting like Christians. Recognize what we have. This is called Gregory the Wonder Worker. How would you rate the following for missionary work in the 3rd century? A child named Gregory is born and raised in a thoroughly animistic home where evil spirits are honored and served as the lords of every phase of family life. At 14, he makes a trip with his brother to Caesarea Philippi, meets a famous Christian teacher named Origen, masters dialectics, philosophy, geometry, astronomy, morals, physics, ancient literature, Grecian philosophy, biblical science and theology, and in the process accepts Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He becomes a missionary to his hometown in Neo-Caesarea, described as rich and populous, deeply buried in vice and idolatry. Kenneth Scott Latourette, a historian, reports, when he died about AD 270, after approximately 30 years in office, it is said that in contrast with the 17 Christians whom he found on his ascension to the Episcopal See, only 17 of the populace remained pagan. What missionary would love that kind of a track record? So he converted out of the 270 all but 13. What could have stimulated and nurtured such a classic people movement? Gregory was no flake. He describes his learning under Origen by saying, he filled our minds with a rational instead of an irrational wonder at the sacred economy of the universe and the irreprovable constitution of all things. Gregory was highly regarded by his peers for humility, self-distrust, and practical sense, a man of singular force of character and weighty judgment. Having earned all these credentials, his main thrust of spreading the gospel gained him the name that has come to us through history, Gregory Thaumaturgus, or being translated, Gregory the Wonder Worker. Gregory's first convert came when traveling through the countryside. He took lodging one night in a notable pagan shrine. Now, this is a pagan temple dedicated to the honor of Apollo. That evening, Gregory found himself engaged in spiritual warfare, joined in a fierce battle against the principality who had long ago been invited to occupy that temple. When the shaman or temple priest in charge arrived at the temple the next day, he was surprised that he could get no response from the demon who was usually there. That night, the demon himself appeared to him in a dream and said that he could only return to the temple with Gregory's permission. Now get a hold of this. The shaman found Gregory and explained his situation, whereupon, according to one historian, Gregory wrote an order for him. Gregory to Apollo, I give you leave to return to your place and do as you have done. The priest put the letter by the image and forthwith the demon returned. You talk about the kind of authority that we have. We need to quit acting like we don't have any. Power can win souls. Although it may sound strange to us today that Gregory might have given the demon permission to return, that is not the point. The point is that in the eyes of the shaman and others who worshipped at the temple of Apollo, the Christian ministry had possessed extraordinary power over what was presumably a well-known territorial spirit, and the spirit had been the first one to acknowledge it. You give them demons their orders. The result, the priest's faith in God was shattered. Returning to St. Gregory, he became a catechumen and subsequently, by holiness of life, proved worthy to succeed the saint as bishop. As an interesting footnote, at least one of the records of this notable incident recounts that the occult practitioner seemed to have had unusual difficulty in accepting Gregory's teaching of the doctrine of Jesus' incarnation. Gregory, therefore, determined to persuade him, according to the source, so Gregory, by prayer, caused a great rock to move from one spot to the other, thus overcoming his doubts. He bore off the servant of the gods as a captive of the faith. Such instances were common in the life and ministry of Gregory the Wonder Worker, and Ramsay MacMillan includes several of them in his epochal book. In one case, MacMillan tells of Gregory casting out a demon. Without using the term itself, MacMillan concludes that this had been a territorial spirit. He says, and the demon himself, being enraged by the territory conquered from him by the Bishop Gregory, where once both countryside and chief city were in the grip of demons, inspires a woman to defame him. She is a prostitute and accuses him of being one of her lovers, but he exorcises the evil spirit from her also. To what I suppose might be the consternation of some of my critics who suggest that proclaiming the gospel rather than power ministries is the only missionary activity really necessary to evangelize pagans, Macmillan says of Gregory the Wonder Worker, he succeeded perhaps in part through speaking publicly to groups. He is shown speaking like that, but confirming or instructing. No conversions are said to result. Rather, inexpressly, conversions result from his supernatural acts. By implication and by position in the narrative, they are presented as the cause of the whole grand picture of his success in his campaigns against demonic host. Spiritual warfare, including the strategic level variety, was not an incidental, but a chief part of Gregory's enormously successful missionary and evangelistic work in the third century. So I say this, it's not just speaking. It's the power of the Spirit and demonstration. Just like Paul going in there and speaking over that demon, the slave girl. That's what Gregory did. And they saw. They know the power of the devil. They saw the power of God at work. And that's what convinced them. That's what converted them to the faith. It's the power of the Spirit in demonstration. Or someone you go to lunch with and you pray for them and they're miraculously healed. That's the power of the Spirit right there to show that person.